Matthew chapter 12. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, verses 22 through 30. Follow along as I read. The Bible says this: "Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, The fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us, God. We thank you so much for being good to us, Lord. Thank you for your watch care and provisions over us. Now, God, as we turn our attention to the Word of God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd be free to do the work that needs to be done this morning. And I pray that you'd bind Satan, Lord, and Lord, his kingdom from doing the work that they want to do, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you just speak to hearts this morning. If there's one person that's here that's not saved today, I pray that they leave this place knowing you as their personal Savior. And we love you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you look around today, you can obviously tell that today is a football theme. And I don't know about you, but football is one of my favorite sports. And what I like about football is that it's a team sport. And it doesn't really matter how good a player might be. The truth of the matter is that no one single person can make a successful team. And as good as Peyton Manning is, you know what? If you took away his offensive line, he wouldn't be much of a quarterback. He's only great if everyone is doing their job. And it's true that there are certain players that may make a team better than others, but everybody doing their job is important. Everybody doing their job is important. You know what? I like being part of a winning team. And, you know, it's fun to be the winner, and it stinks to be the loser. I hate being a loser. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I don't agree with the saying, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. I'm not sure who the politically correct sap was that made that saying up, but it's simply not true. He was probably a lousy coach who couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag. And I'm telling you, I hate to lose. And even at home, I get kind of carried away when I'm playing board games with my kids. And you rolled the dice too many times. You drew too many cards. Ha ha, you got to go back. I mean, you know, it's kind of ridiculous sometimes. And those of you who've ever played board games with me, you know what I'm talking about. But you know what? I hate to lose. The truth of the matter is, nobody likes to be on the losing end. Nobody likes to be on the losing end. Truthfully, at the end of the day, whether or not somebody wins a game won't really matter 100 years from now. That's really not going to be the thing that matters. But whether or not you win or lose spiritually will have a huge eternal impact. Let me say that again. Whether or not you win or lose spiritually will have a huge eternal impact. My job today, I want to be a recruiter. I want you to leave here today being on the right team. I want to show you why you should come join the team. And the title of my sermon this morning is this: Come Join the Team. By the way, everybody is on a team. Yes, you are. There are only two kinds of people that are living in this world. You say, no, there's not. There's millions of different types of people. And out of all the 7 billion that walk this planet, all of them are different. But may I say this, everyone falls into one of two categories. Everyone is on one of two teams. Notice what Jesus said in our text. He that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me is against me. Every person in this world and every person in this room today, you are either on God's team or you are on Satan's team. You say, well, no, I'm not. I never joined a team. I'm not on either. Well, according to the Bible, John 3:18, Jesus said this: He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you have not made the conscious decision to join God's side, then that automatically makes you on Satan's team. Now, I know that's not a popular message, but here's the thing. I got good news this morning. If you came here today and not on the right team, you can switch sides today. You don't have to spend another day playing for the wrong team. You don't have to spend another day belonging to a team with the losing record. God is waiting to draft you today if you're willing to accept His offer. I want to try and convince you this morning why you should join the right team. You know, I like getting the bad news over with first, so I'll begin giving you the stats of why you should not stay on the devil's team. All I can do is give you the true facts that have been recorded in the stat books of all stat books, and that's, of course, the Word of God. And this morning, I will give you from the truth from the Word of God and then allow you to make the decision. And why you should not stay on Satan's team. I'll begin there. Why you should not stay on Satan's team. I'll give you three reasons. Number one is this. He's a lousy captain. The devil is a lousy team captain. The Bible says this about the devil, John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Now notice here the description of the devil here, okay? He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. According to the verse we just read, Satan is full of lust. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. As your team captain, he may tell you something, but you can't believe what he tells you because he's a liar. Kind of like what he told Eve back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Remember that Satan told that to Eve? You're not going to die. But let me ask you this. Was that the truth? Of course it wasn't. What happened to Adam and Eve? Well, just a few verses later, the Bible says this. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And listen to me, if turning into dust isn't dying, I don't know what is. Listen to me, Satan is a liar. The Bible says this about Satan. It tells us in 1 Timothy 3:6 that he's proud. It tells us in 1 John 2:13 that he's wicked. In Job 1:9 that he's malignant. In Genesis 3:1 that he's subtle. In 2 Corinthians 11:4 that he's deceitful. In 1 Peter 5:8, it tells us that he's fierce and cruel. Listen, if you can't trust your team captain when you're in a game, who are you going to trust? I did some research this week, and I come up with a list of the 8 worst leaders of all time. The 8 worst leaders of all time. And this list had to have been before you-know-who become president, because he'd been number one, I'm sure of it. But number one, Adolf Hitler, who ruled Germany from 1939 to 1945. Now, most people think that Hitler just targeted the Jews, but that's not true. And during his reign, there were approximately 5.9 million Jews killed. There were also 3.3 million Soviet POWs, 1.8 to 2 million non-Jewish Poles. There were between 220,000 to 270,000 Romanian gypsies that were killed. There were 200,000 to 250,000 disabled people, 2,500 to 5,000 Jehovah's Witnesses, and a total of approximately 8.5 million people were slaughtered under this leader. What a lousy leader. Number two on the list is Mao Zedong from China, who ruled from 1958 to 61 and also from 1966 to 69. He founded the Chinese Communist Party and was responsible for the deaths of more than 10 times as many people as Hitler. Third on the list was Joseph Stalin from the USSR in 1921 to 1953. He launched a great purge in the 30s that rid the Communist Party of nearly every person who had brought him to power. According to a CNN article, Soviet nuclear physicists estimated more than 1.2 million party members. More than half the group were arrested, and 600,000 of those died by torture or execution. Number four on the list was a man named Pol Pot from Cambodia, who ruled from 1975 to 1979. He was influenced by Mao's Cultural Revolution, and 25% of Cambodia's population died from starvation, overwork, and executions in Pol Pot's attempt to form a communistic peasant farming society. He conducted deadly purges to rid the area of the old society, and anyone suspected of being disloyal was shot or bludgeoned with an axe. What a leader, huh? Number five was Kim Jong-il from North Korea, and that's from 1994 to the present. In the world's most tightly controlled society, roughly 250,000 civilians are in re-education camps, and a majority of the nation is malnourished. And of course, we can document that today. Number six on the list was Robert Mugabe from Zimbabwe from 1980 to present. While Africa isn't the greatest continent to live on, Zimbabwe has the world's highest inflation rate, an 80% employment rate, and since 1988, the life expectancy has dropped from 62 to 38. In 2005, Mugabe launched Operation Clean the Filth, which forced the eviction of 700,000 people to restore order and sanity. Number seven on the list was Omar al-Bashir from Sudan. His campaign of religious and ethnic persecutions has ended the lives of 180,000 civilians and has driven over 2 million people from their homes. And the number eight on the list was from the 15th century, a man named Ivan the Impaler. Author Bram Stoker based his signature character Dracula on him. However, the Impaler did not kill to feed for pleasure, but he killed for watching others just to suffer. It has been said that he caused more rivers of blood than any other tyrant in history. Dracula is a teddy bear compared to this guy. Hey, where do you think all these evil men throughout history have gotten their inspiration? Hello, folks. From their team captain. The evil that I just read about you was directly inspired by the team leader of evil itself, and that is the devil. That's the devil. So you shouldn't stay on Satan's team because he's a lousy team captain. Let me give you another reason why you shouldn't stay on his team. Number two is this, because he doesn't care about his teammates. He doesn't care about his teammates. The Bible tells us that Satan wants to possess you. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 5, we read a story here of Jesus coming to a place and encountering what I'm about to read to you. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. What was this man's problem? This man's problem was he belonged to Satan's team, and Satan had possessed him. If you're not saved this morning, the devil wants to possess you. Not only that, he wants to blind you. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4, "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Let me tell you something, folks. If you're not saved this morning, you are being blinded by the devil. He wants to blind you. He doesn't want you to believe that hell's real. He doesn't want you to believe that God's real. In fact, he'll try to get you to believe anything except the truth because he wants to blind you. Not only that, he wants to deceive you. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 and 8, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth." Satan wants to deceive. Satan doesn't care what you believe as long as it's not the truth. He doesn't care if you add a little bit of this to religion. He doesn't care if you add a little bit of that. As long as it's not the truth, he's content because he has deceived you. Not only that, the Bible tells us he wants to ensnare you. 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Listen to me. What makes a good team captain? It's a leader who cares for his teammates. Satan doesn't care for anyone except himself. He'll tell you what you want to hear in order for you to do his bidding. And then when he's done with you, he'll puke you out in the garbage pile of pain, despair, and regret. That's all the devil cares about. Let's just look at the life of someone who he did that to. How about Judas Iscariot? Satan used and abused Judas. Let's see if he cared about Judas. John 13, 26 tells us this. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon." And after the sop, notice here, Satan entered into him. Satan had his way with Judas. He said, "Okay, fine, Judas. I want to use you. You can be on my team for a while." So he possessed Judas. How did it work out for Judas after he did Satan's bidding? Did Satan treat him fair? Did Satan care about Judas? Well, let me read to you what happened to Judas, and you tell me how fair this was. "For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man," speaking of Judas, "purchased a field with the reward of iniquity." You ready? Here's what happens when you belong to the devil's team. "And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." How's that putting it for being plain? You know what happened to Judas? Sure, Satan, I'll play on your team. Satan, oh, come on, Judas, be on my team. Where did Judas end up? Hanging from his neck with his bowels gushing out. That's what playing for the devil's team will get you. And listen to me, that's why you should not be on the devil's team. He's a lousy team captain. He doesn't care about his teammates. And here's my favorite one out of all of them. He isn't going to win. Let me say that again. He isn't going to win. Why in the world would you want to be part of a team if you knew for a fact there was no chance of winning? It'd be like belonging to the Detroit Lions. I mean, come on. I mean, no chance of winning. Or maybe the ISU Sycamores. I mean, I don't know. I mean, belonging to a team who has no chance of winning, why would you want to be on that team? Listen to me. Let me read this verse to you. Revelation 20:10. You ready? Here we go. Here's the end. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hey, does that sound like a victory dance in the end zone to you? Hey, does that sound like a trip to Disneyland after winning the Super Bowl? Hey, by the way, listen to me. You won't find anywhere in the Bible where Satan will be ruling hell from his throne. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Did you see what the Bible said about Satan? And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hey, that word tormented means tortured. Satan won't want to be in hell any more than anybody else will want to be there. He's a defeated foe. Listen to me. Satan's not in hell today ruling from his throne. Satan don't want to be in hell any more than the rich man from Luke chapter 16 wants to be there. He's a defeated foe. He's not going to win. You know what, to me, though, the sad part is? It's not the fact that Satan isn't going to win. He's been a loser from the day that pride entered his heart and he got kicked out of heaven. The sad fact is that he's going to take all those that are on his team to meet the same fate. That's a sad part to me. You know, we read that description about Satan and shall have his part, and the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire. But just a few verses on down, the Bible tells us this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know who that whosoever is? That's every person that's on the devil's team. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life. God did not leave us clueless as to what was going to happen to those that stay on the team of Satan. Listen to me. You do not have to be deceived. You do not have to stay ignorant. God did not leave us clueless. You get to see the end result before they happen. God tells us plainly in His Word who will win the victory. Listen to me, I know sometimes you look around and it seems that the devil's team's winning. I know that right now the scoreboard looks like it's going to be a landslide victory for the forces of darkness. But the game isn't over yet. The game's not over yet. The devil's going to lose. Listen to me, if you're on the devil's team, you don't want to stay there. You don't want to stay on his team. Remember, he's a lousy team captain. He doesn't care about his teammates. He isn't going to win. Hey, what's that noise? You know what? I think I hear the phone ringing. Hey, I think it's your manager calling. Hey, saying there's another team that's wanting to offer your position. I think you should take a look at what God's team has to offer, all right? Because there's another team out there, and this is the one you want to be on. This is the one I'm trying to get to recruit you to this morning, all right? So that's why you shouldn't be on the devil's team. Now, let me tell you why you will want to be on God's team, all right? Number one is this. He's the best team captain there is, all right? Let me say that again. He's the best team captain there is. The Bible says this about Jesus in Joshua 5:13-15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay. Now this is Jesus Christ here. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto thy servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy foot from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. The Bible says of Jesus that he's the captain of the Lord's host. The Bible also says of Jesus that he's the captain of salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Hey, just as Satan is a lousy team captain, Jesus is the best team captain there is. Hey, the Bible tells this about Jesus. The Bible tells us that he's light in 1 John 1:5. The Bible says that he's love in 1 John 4:8. That he's eternal, Psalms 92. That he's immortal, 1 Timothy 1:17. He's omnipotent, Genesis 17:1. He's immutable, Psalms 102:26. He's only wise in Romans 16:27. He's glorious in Psalms 145:5. He's most high in Psalms 33:18. He's perfect in Matthew 5:48. He's holy in Psalm 99:9. He's just in Isaiah 45:21. He's true, he's upright, he's righteous, he's good, he's great, he's gracious, he's faithful. And the list could go on and on. I don't know about you, but I want to be on that team. Hey, that sounds like a pretty good team captain to me. Hey, it sure beats the team captain who's a murderer, a thief, and a liar, amen? And Jesus is the best team captain there is. That's why you want to be on his team. Not only that, but this, Jesus cares for his teammates. Jesus cares for his teammates. We saw what the devil did to some of his teammates. Look what the Bible says about Jesus. 1 Timothy 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In fact, he cared so much that he paid the highest wage ever just so you could be on his team. Hey, there ain't no salary cap when it comes to Jesus being on his team. Hey, teams will pay an ungodly amount of money just to get certain players on their teams. I mean, it's almost ridiculous. I hate almost reading this because it almost makes me sick to listen to this amount of money. But in 2009, the following teams paid this. The Cleveland Cavaliers paid $14.4 million for LeBron James. The New York Yankees paid $33 million for Alex Rodriguez. And the Cleveland Cavaliers paid $20 million for Shaquille O'Neal. The Boston Celtics paid $24.7 million for Kevin Garnett. And the Colts paid $14.5 million for Peyton Manning. Hey, listen to me. The price that was paid so that you could be on God's team makes all these millions of dollars less valuable than Monopoly money. Listen to me, God paid such a high price for you to be on his team, and there's nothing that can compare to it. The Bible tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, that means bought. You weren't bought, you weren't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hey, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price so you could be on his team. That was his own precious blood. The blood of Christ is so valuable and so precious that one day when we were in heaven, this will be the scene. Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song. That's speaking of everybody that's saved. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, every tongue, and people, and nation." Hey, isn't this team sounding pretty good this morning? And you got a great team captain. You got a team captain who cares for his teammates, who's paid the ultimate price so you could be on his team. Not only that, but let me give you the last reason why you ought to join this team is because this team is the one that's going to win. This team is the one that's going to win. Let me read to you some victory celebration here. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 19, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written which no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Hey, that's us. Hey, that's us, part of the team, following our team captain there. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Let me tell you something. That's the victory celebration. Let me read to you another one here. Revelation 19. "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." Hey, we're there. Here's our opponents, okay? Now decide which one of these sides you want to be on. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire and brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." You don't want to be on that team. Talk about being big losers. They're going to be big losers that day, all right. Revelation chapter 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. You ready? Jesus is about ready to put the final victory over the devil. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan. Man, I love Jesus named every single attribute of him right there. The serpent, the dragon, the devil, Satan, and bound him with 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And then set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Hey, you know what Jesus does at this time? He comes, he takes the old devil. He takes the old lousy team captain. He binds him with the chain and throws him in the bottomless pit. Man, that's a good day. Amen. Let me read to you last of all one more passage. Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nation. There he is again, up to his old tricks, up to being a lousy team captain. He's out to be deceiving again. Deceive the nations, where it's in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth. Once again, they're joining their captain here. These are all the people that are on the wrong team. Once again, you think these people would learn. You think they would say, wait a minute, the devil's a lousy captain. I don't want to be on his team, but look at all the people that's on his team. And they went on the breadth of the earth and could pass the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Hey, you know what they're doing? They're trying to conquer the other team. They're trying to conquer Jesus and his team. But notice here the end result. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. See here, you see the victory there? You see what team you want to be on? And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I don't know about you, but after reading those verses, I think I might get a penalty in the end zone for excessive celebration. I mean, that was some good stuff there. I mean, hey, if I knew how to dance the jig, I'd probably be doing it right now. And listen to me, that's what I call being on the right team. Amen. Being on the right team. Okay, now this morning, why in the world, after seeing the stat book, would you want to remain on the devil's team? I mean, I've showed you biblically where the stats are at. I showed you what kind of a lousy team captain Satan is and what kind of a great captain Jesus is. Hey, listen to me. What did the devil ever do for you? Hey, did the devil leave heaven to be born of a virgin? Hey, was Satan the one whose face was spit upon and his beard plucked out? Was Satan the one who wore the crown of thorns upon his brow for you? Was he the one that was scourged 39 times with a cat of nine tails? Is he the one who had the spikes driven through his hands and his feet? Hey, is the devil the one that hung on the old rugged cross to pay your sin debt? Was he the one that did that? Is he the one who bore the whole sins of the world upon him as God poured out his wrath? Hey, did the devil, is he the one that cried in this darkest hour of agony, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Is the devil the one that did that for you? I don't think so. You know what? Listen to me. Because he's not, why in the world would you want to stay on his team this morning? Why would you want to be on the devil's team? Listen to me. Jesus' team, that's the team you want to be on. So as a recruiter for God's team, I urge you today, if you are on Satan's team, and you are if you're not saved, I don't care if you want to deny it, that's fine. God gives you a free will. God gives you a choice. You can deny it all you want, but if you're not saved, you are on the devil's team. You're on the devil's team. And here's the great part. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay on the devil's team this morning. Listen to me. God orchestrates things in such a way. And God, on purpose, brought you to this place where you're at today. On purpose, he brought you here. God orchestrated circumstances. God allowed a certain person to contact you. God may have used, for some of you, your children to get you here so that they'd have a better chance of winning Colts tickets. Whatever the reason is, you're here this morning. God has you here for a reason. God has you here for a purpose. He wants you to make sure you're on his team this morning. And right now, as I've been preaching the Word of God, if you're not saved, there's something called the Holy Spirit of God. He's working on your heart. You say, something's going on inside of me. That's called the Holy Spirit. And hey, I wasn't trying to use deception today. I wasn't trying to use some fancy magical words today. If you're not saved, God the Holy Spirit's working on your heart saying, hey, listen to me, don't stay on the devil's team. And here's the great part. You don't have to. You don't have to stay on the devil's team. Jesus, hey, he's already paid the price for you. All right, the price has already been paid, and he shed his own precious blood, and he's willing to, listen to me, there's a position on the team for you. Hey, there's just not 52 slots that have to build on this team. Hey, there is a position for you on this team, and we want you to join the team this morning, amen? So at this time, if y'all will bow your head and close your eyes. No looking around. And the important thing is that you make sure you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, what's that mean? What's it mean to know Christ as your Savior? Well, very simply, the Bible tells us that according to Romans chapter 3, 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that we're sinners. I don't know about you, but it's not hard for me to look at my life and realize that I have fallen short of what God wants me to be. The Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one. That means nobody is perfect. From the pulpit this morning down to the pew, we're all sinners. You must recognize your need as a sinner. You must realize because of your sin, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. That means because we've sinned, the payment, the penalty on sin is death. That death is speaking about what the Bible calls is a second death. It means an eternity in a godless, real, hot place called hell. And that's what we deserve because we're sinners. Hey, that's what being on Satan's team will get you right there. Okay, but here's the good part. Just like I told you this morning, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for you. He shed his own precious blood so that you could be on his team this morning. Now here's the great part. You don't have to impress God to be on his team. Hey, you don't have to try to live up to a certain status to be on God's team. He'll accept you however you are this morning. He wants you, in fact. Hey, he wants you to be on his team. And all you've got to do to be saved is realize you're a sinner, realize that because of your sin, the penalty of that is hell, and then simply put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross to save you. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus Christ wants to save you this morning. Romans 10:9-10 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what that is? That's a call to join the other team. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, what a great day for you to do that. And I would just like to ask you this. No one's looking around. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, you say, Brother Reiser, I'm on the wrong team. I'm on Satan's team. I've never been saved. I've never accepted Christ. But man, what you said this morning made a lot of sense. I sure would like to be part of God's team. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, would you just raise your hand so I could pray for you? I just want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name out. I would just like to simply pray for you. Is there anyone here that's not saved? Would you just raise your hand this morning so I can be sure to pray for you this morning? Okay, I see that hand. Anyone else? Anybody else that's not saved? If you know you're not saved, and thank you, I see that hand. Here in just a minute, not right now, but in just a minute, we're going to play an invitation song, and we have folks waiting down here at the front. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady. If you're a man, we'll get a man. And we want to show you this morning how you can make sure that you take care of that. You step out of being on Satan's team and be on God's team this morning. So let's all stand, please, at this time. Let's all stand, and as we sing an invitation song, if you raised your hand and you don't know for sure you're saved, make your way to the nearest aisle and let us have someone take the Bible and show you how you know for sure you can be saved.